Do we have any more prayer requests? All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? You know, Paul was talking about the communion, and he said, for this reason. He didn't say reasons, plural. He said, for this reason is why people are sickly and die early among you. He only gave one reason why people got sick, and that was because they weren't discerning the body of Christ. You know, he could have said, you know, if they would discern the body of Christ, watch out for allergies and not eat bottom meat and fish and do this. He didn't say none of that. He said, for this reason, the one reason why people are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So we're going to look at this and identify Jesus in this bread. We see that this bread is made without yeast, and that's significant because Jesus' body was and is without sin, and yeast is significant in sin in the Bible. And this bread has been beaten and pounded for us. Jesus was certainly beaten and bruised for us. And there are stripes in this bread. And the Bible tells us that by His stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced, and Jesus' body was pierced, and everywhere that His body was pierced, we got healing in some area. And this bread has been slightly burned. And that tells us that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So we're taking this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so absolutely pure because He doesn't have Adam's blood. He did not have Adam's blood flowing through His veins. We have Adam's blood flowing through our veins. Jesus had the blood of God in Him. You know, He has no blood left in His body. It all left Him. And it was to pay for our sins and wash us clean. The blood of Jesus did the one thing that no man could ever do. That's to make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Completely cleanse our sins away. And now because of the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to enter into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to talk about being in the right place at the right time. Now we humans, we have this innate ability of taking a piece of paper and a pen and writing down our schedule, and this is by God how we're going to do it today. And tomorrow, this is the way it's going to be. And the next day, this is the way it's going to be. And the next day, this is the way it's going to be. Christians are just as guilty of that as the world is. Like they actually know what they need to be. The Bible tells us that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, it's okay to make schedules and make goals and plans and stuff, but guess what? God knows more than you do. Have you ever thought about that? God knows more than you do. I'll tell you something that drives preachers absolutely crazy. They talk to me, you know, then just people talk to me and they said, how long does it take you to prepare for a sermon? I said, that's kind of a generic question. He said, well, they say, well, it takes me a week. I said, really? Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to talk about until 5 minutes before I get to the podium. Do you see the difference? One way is man's efforts. Another way is relying on the Holy Spirit. You know, I make notes. I have a lot of notes, and I write them down, and I have them, and I bring them up there, and sometimes I'll put them notes right here on the podium. I'll open up my Bible, and I might not look at those notes again. Why? Well, I was prepared, but also I'm willing to go ahead and be led by the Holy Spirit because He knows more about it than I do. One thing about being in the right place at the right time is depending on the Holy Spirit. You know, we get so wrapped up in what we're doing and how we're going to do it, and this is the right way to do it, and we're going to do it this way, till we forget to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's dangerous. You know, in the whole scheme of things, you're not all that smart. I mean, if we're honest, there's a lot of things we don't know. There really is. There's a lot of things that we don't know. But God knows. And God is inside of us. And if we'll take the time to listen to Him, He'll lead us. I want to go through this account here. Chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1. Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Okay. And Elisha, he just pronounced a drought. A drought leads to a famine. Now, there's a lot of accounts where people, when they got in trouble, they went down to Egypt. There's a lot of accounts where people would, you know, people would go wherever they could find food. And that makes sense, doesn't it? In the natural, but we're to be spirit-led. Now, God had a different idea for Elisha. He said, you go hence and turn yourself eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Okay. That doesn't sound like going to a prosperous place. He's sending me to the boonies. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Praise God, I'm going to have birds feeding me. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, basically, there's a terrible amount of trouble coming. And God said, I want you to go over here to this brook, and I'm going to have the birds feed you. And you're going to be okay. Now, tell me, how many of you would just saddle up your donkey, go right over to that brook, and sit there and wait for a bird to feed you? I'm guessing there's a whole bunch of people that would run to Egypt. Here's the thing. In order to be at the right place at the right time, you're going to have to abandon yourself and rely on God. Not everything is going to make sense in your own human reasoning. You've got to stop that. Well, where's the money going to come? Well, a fish's mouth. Of course. Did you know that it's not necessarily really any of your business how God gets it to you? Your only concern is putting your trust in Him and believing that He will get it to you. Well, he got Elisha to go to the brook. Let's see how it went. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. How about that? God told him to go to this brook, and he's going to send ravens to feed him. He went to the brook like God told him to. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. You can't beat that. He just had to sit there and allow God to take care of him. Now, he was in the right place at the right time. He was literally where God told him to be. I've run into a lot of people that said they're going to move to this town, this new exciting town. They got a big job offer. There's a school there that does all kinds of cool things. You know, there's this, there's that, there's all their, you know, all the fun things that they want to do. And I ask them, say, well, where are you going to go to church at? I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. Really? You know, here's the thing people need to understand. The first thing you should ask yourself and ask God is, where do you want me to go to church? And then go to church there and let Him line everything else up. He'll do it way better than you could. But that's about being in the right place at the right time. Being where God told you to be. And let's carry on here. Came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Makes perfect sense, don't it? We're in a famine. It hasn't been raining. And you want me to go And this widow woman's going to take care of me. I got you. In the natural, that makes absolutely no sense. In the natural, why would you do that? But according to the Word of God, being led by the Spirit, He's trying to get you to a place. He's trying to get you to a certain place at the right time. So he decides he better do this. He arose, he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, there's a widow woman gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now we got two people that God's dealing with. And God's trying to get them both to be in the right place at the right time. Now, Elijah, he's going to have to put his pride down and ask this woman to feed him. And now she even doubled down on this and said, "Hey, look, we're out of food. We're going to eat our last meal. We're going to die." And here's this preacher asking me for some food. This is not anything that people don't deal with all the time. I got bills to pay. I got kids to take care of. I got a pickup with no tires on it. I'm out of gas. And there's this preacher talking about putting money in the basket. Is he an idiot? No, it's God trying to get you to a certain place. We're going to look at a very interesting verse after a while. Just not right now, but a very interesting verse. I know you've all heard it. Even the world uses this verse. But you got to understand what this verse means. So anyway, down here, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for you and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." She went and did according to thy saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So he got these two people at the right place at the right time, and they went ahead and turned what they had over to him. He shucked his pride and asked that woman for help. She took the little bit that she had, put it in his hands, and look what happened. All three of them survived. She didn't lose her son. They didn't starve. They had plenty of food, plenty of oil. They could make it to the next rainy season. The interesting thing Elijah told her, said, "Fear not." If one thing that the church needs to listen to and hear from God is fear not. Put what you have in His hands and let Him take care of the rest. Go to the spot that I told you to go to and stay there. People have a hard time with this. If God tells you to go, go. If He doesn't tell you to go, don't go. If He puts you in a place, stay there. How long do I got to stay there? You stay there until He tells you to go somewhere else. Amen. Even if you have to pack up the little woman, throw all your belongings in the trailer, and move 1,000 miles from home, go! And you stay there until He says go. Well, I don't want to be there forever. Well, if you're there forever, He'll take care of you. But how do you know you're going to be there forever? Do you know everything? Do you know the beginning from the end? No. Then just trust God. Let Him take care of it. Now, we got that little bit of a foundation down. We're talking about getting to the right place at the right time. You understand that Jesus became our high priest, right? He got seated at the right hand of God, and He is our high priest right now. And the Bible tells us that He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That's us. That means the most powerful faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth is praying for you right now. How cool is that? And you're waiting for some anointed rascal from Dallas to show up somewhere around Midland so he can go to his meeting and he can go pray for you. Sounds silly, doesn't it? I've ran into so many people like that. They wait for some guy to show up from some faraway town to go to a meeting close to them so they go have him pray for them. Wow. Open your Bibles up to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men to skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance. Have you ever... I know every one of you have heard that. Time and chance happened to them all. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. It's still Solomon. He's been through a lot. But time and chance makes it sound like luck, doesn't it? But it has nothing to do with luck. What that verse is talking about is Jesus causing you to be at the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to you. Have you ever wondered how some people just seem to just be at the right time, at the right place all the time and they get blessed? Some people say they got the Midas touch. This guy just, every time he turns around, he's blessed. Have you ever thought about that? You know that there are some people that consider their ways and they spend a considerable amount of time asking God what they need to do, where they need to do it, when they need to do it. And these people have an incredible amount of patience because they're willing to wait on God when God tells them to be at a certain place at a certain time. That doesn't mean something's going to happen right now. It just means God told you to be there. What happens then? Then you wait. Well, how long do I got to wait? How long is it going to get there? Here's the thing. America is one of the most spoiled countries in the whole world. And people are like a bunch of little brats. You don't believe me? Just slow the internet down a little bit. What happens if you all of a sudden don't have high-speed connection? What happens if all of a sudden you can't have your answer in 30 seconds? You can't have your email, you can't have this thing downloaded in 30 seconds. You can't get the information that you wanted in 30 seconds. Poor little thing. I remember we used to cut stuff out of magazines, fill it out, put it in an envelope, mail it, and it would take 2 weeks to get there, and then however long it took them to fulfill that order, then it would take them 2 weeks to get back to us. But we didn't get it. See, patience, you know, one thing about faith, is, and the Bible talks about it, it says, let patience have its perfect work. This high-speed information world that we live in with the microwaves, we have instant food, we have instant information, we have instant access, we have instant this, instant that, we even have instant coffee. And if you drink that poison, I feel for you. But everything right now. Got to have it now. Right now. Boom, boom, boom. And our patience wears thin if we have to wait 5 minutes. So when God tells us to be somewhere and we have to actually sit by faith and wait patiently, people give up. And they walk away from their blessing. One of the number one things that you need to know about Jesus is he was never in a hurry, but he was never late. You know, his friends came to him, they got word about his friend Lazarus. You know, they were friends. And they came down and said, Lazarus is sick. You got to hurry up and get up there and pray for him. And he walked around and started talking about something else. And he didn't change his pace. And he talked about this and he talked about that. And then he finally got to Lazarus' house. And his sister come out. He said, it's too late. If you'd have just come up here and prayed for him, he'd have been all right. But it's too late. He's in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus had to inform her that he was the resurrection. And he went to the tomb and he raised Jesus back. He raised Lazarus back to life. Now you would think, four days, that's pretty late. I mean, when you're in the grave, that's pretty late. But it's not too late for God. And I really liked they mentioned 4 days because Jesus was meddling with their religion. Because under the Jewish tradition, it says the spirit will kind of walk around until corruption sets in, which is after the third day. Then once corruption sets in, then he just takes off. But Lazarus was there for 4 days. And Jesus let them know that he was more powerful than their religion and their tradition. Jesus is more powerful than any circumstance that you're ever going to encounter. Jesus is more powerful than any challenge that you'll ever face. And Jesus knows more than anything you'll ever imagine. That's why it's important for us to be led by the Spirit of God. Let Him tell us when to be where. Don't get so iron-minded that you're going to, by God, be where you decided you was going to be. You decided you was going to be at a certain place at 5 o'clock, and that is the way it's going to be. And you get an inkling in your spirit, something kind of bugging you, saying, you know, slow down just a minute. But you say, no, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock. And disaster happens. And then you're sitting there saying, you know, something told me I shouldn't have went there. Did you know that His name is not something? His name is Holy Spirit. And He speaks to us, that still, quiet voice on the inside of us. How many of you have woken up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and suddenly had an answer for the big problem that you had? Every single one of you. Why is that? Because He finally got you to shut up long enough to listen and be still without commotion. He get that answer inside of you and bring that to your conscience. My dad used to torture me. He'd take a quarter and he'd put it on the table and said, if you can just be still. If you could just be still for 5 minutes, you can have that quarter. I never got a quarter out of that man, ever. I'm not even still when I'm asleep. You ask her. She thinks I'm a terrorist in bed, me and my little dog. But here's the thing. Getting still and quiet long enough to listen to the Spirit of God is vitally important for us. And it's actually more important than anything we may write down. We may have our goals and our plans, but being where God tells us to be, when He tells us to be there, is way more important than anything we may conceive in our own mind. Amen? We're going to stop there and we'll pick up this next Sunday. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise You for everything that You do for us and our high priest who is always praying for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time. Father, teach us more and more about being led by Holy Spirit so that we can be right where You want us to be. So that blessing just comes right on top of us every time. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we have cake and coffee and a birthday party. come on back and join us.